Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I am a slave to the Apple Corporation. I'm convinced of that.
We all are, I think.
You sound like Mr. Robot.
I was sitting there, and I have my iPad, I have my MacBook, I have my iPhone, I have my iPads to the... one of the iPads had a tiny little charging cable that was just a little teeny tiny bit off, and that means it was a dead battery. And then I right before the show, because I want to charge my little phone, because I use that to monitor our little running time.
And
I was sitting there with seconds to spare trying to get the teeny tiny little charging cable in the back of the Apple, but the Apple Corporation, I realize I'm a slave to Apple. That's what I am.
You eat what they feed you. You know what I do a lot? I'll look down and I'll say, why isn't my iPad charging? Because I've put the cable in between the case and the iPad, not in the hole, but it feels like it's gone. But you know, it's been plugged in. But
do you think we're too spoiled when we start bitching about technological things that were never even possible before? Like for example, will we get to a point where the charging element of our lives, the battery side of our lives, will be less problematic? And here's how I process it as an American. Is there anybody working on that?
Well, we
is someone else doing that for me?
Huh? There's wireless charging that is now in play with a handful of brands, including the iPhone, with the iPhone 8 coming. But you will also need the special wireless charging pad in order to charge it.
Yeah. Which will be attached to the wall.
Yes.
Of course, it's not really wireless. It's just less wireless.
There is some technology over the horizon. And look, you make fun of me. You tell me that I'm not going to have kids. I'm going to go sterile. It's a microwave. It's not. And it will happen within our lifetime that we will have special rooms in our homes where you can just put your charging device in and it will wirelessly charge from the wall, almost like an electromagnetic field.
Right. And then you can take your phone with you to the doctors when you have your chemotherapy because you have cancer from all of the wireless charging.
Which has never really been proven. Am I right about that?
Or it's disproven.
Or disproven.
No one knows.
It's never really been proven as to, you know, what happens with that. But I feel as though, you know, I'm a little bit jittery technologically down here because we are about ready to bring the entire Cocoon neighborhood online.
Oh, that'll be good. The flip of the switch?
Yeah.
It'll be like lighting the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center.
The thing is, all the homes are going to be wired now, whether they want to be or not.
All the blue hairs on Netflix.
Exactly. I'm watching a show.
Jurassic Guards. I've heard about this.
Saturday, I'm walking the dogs. Saturday afternoon, it's probably 4 o'clock, 4:30. Right. I'm walking the dogs. Car comes up. One of my golfing buddies, right? One of my golfing buddies comes up and he goes, 2 hours. I said, what? 2 hours. I had my cable installed. They put me in, they hooked me up. 2 hours, my screen froze. I don't have any TV picture. I'm driving around the neighborhood to try to find the guys.
At TV and the screen's all frozen up.
He's not one of those old, he was just frustrated with the lack of performance. And, you know, I rely on the Comcast family.
Yes.
To treat me very well down here.
Yeah, you're not just a VIP. You might as well be a stockholder.
Yeah,
I'm a stockholder. Right. We have Comcast up in Washington. We have Comcast down here, and you might not approve, Oscar, of the way that I'm proceeding with this, because we've gotten the meetings at Cocoonville, gotten the letters from the people at Comcast, and we have gotten specialty phone calls. We've got everybody's telling you, you can say, here's your period to sign up. I'm going on the I'm not going to F with it plan because I'm already wired into
laissez-faire,
the Comcast
mon cher.
Yes. Laissez-faire, bon cher. Well, you're doing that because you've got Rob Spiewak has New Orleans on the mind more than anybody has New Orleans on the mind.
Very excited with certain aspects of the show that I think are going to play very
picked
well.
Picked out my outfit for the stage already. Have you?
No, what are you going to be wearing? I really haven't given it much thought, you know, other than, you know, I'm like, Carla, can you take 40 pounds off of me in 3 days?
You're in the steam box?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Shannon got her dress this weekend, and,
nice.
And I made sure I had everything for my suit.
So what, be I'll be wearing a suit as well.
Full suit, Mike. Yeah. Full suit.
You, what are you wearing, Rob, for the regular show?
For the regular portion of the show, a suit. A simple two-button suit.
All right.
Why are you mad at us?
I'll be wearing jeans and a bowling shirt.
That's good. Well, that'll help people spot you from a distance.
Right. Thank you.
There's
Thank
casual you superstar Mike O'Mara.
What happened to Charlie Sheen?
Did he eat Charlie Sheen?
Rob is excited, and I'm starting to get excited about New Orleans because here's the way. Rob called me today because Rob knows that I'm looking forward to one element of our live show that's really going to be better. So Rob calls me and has an idea that he wants to throw at me, which is I think it's a good idea, but when Rob talks to me, I don't know what carrier he's using in the car because it's like, I have an idea for it. I only get it. I have lots of conversations with you on your cell phone, but the only time that it's problematic is when you are driving into work, and it's happened multiple times. So where do you think this degradation in cell quality must be coming from?
With Kia AirPlay.
Are you using Bluetooth?
Of course. I have to go hands-free. Otherwise, I'm breaking the law.
So it's Bluetooth. It's just like I would say to a caller.
It's those ham hands.
That's
not the ham hands because Bluetooth has no hands involved.
No,
the Bluetooth sucks. Bluetooth is terrible.
I will accept that. I will accept that. But my hands have nothing to do with it.
But what I got, I think the idea, I think we had enough connectivity where the idea you have is spectacularly funny.
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh,
I'm not telling anybody. I'm not even telling anybody what we're talking about. It's going to be funny. And also it's going to come. I'm not giving anything away. It'll come towards the end of the show.
It might be. Yeah.
When Rob and I will both probably be like buzzed enough to make it like even better.
Hey, listen, I don't care if Oscar hates it. I don't care if the audience hates it. You and I are going to have a great time with it.
That's true. That's right. Well, I guess it's off to Destination XL today to get myself a proper suit.
Destination
XL? No, I'll
what
go to Dillard's.
What is that?
I'll go to Dillard's. It's a big and tall men's shop.
Oh, okay. Oscar. Melons.
It's overpriced.
Melons.
It's truly overpriced. And I got that great jacket that I wore, but I wore it a year ago. And I literally have not had occasion to wear a suit jacket for 1 year.
Hey, you
that
know
is
what?
That is the God's honest truth. I have not had a suit jacket on for 1 year. I didn't go to Ben's wedding, so I didn't have enough. I went to church. Wore a blue blazer to church one day. I think I did up in Maine.
Four times in 10 days for me, with two weddings and a funeral.
Yeah, did you?
Literally.
I noticed you're going to wear to the show one of the suits you wore to the wedding. I can tell you got that suit. You got that suit that looks good on you. Where did you get your suit?
Well, as you know, Mike, if you go through my closet.
Right.
There are different.
It's like Gleason's closet.
Different
right?
eras of a man's life. And sure. I'm dead set in the middle.
It's also part of the This Is Us collection.
The Toby collection.
No, it's
the Toby collection.
The Chrissy Metz collection.
The Chrissy Metz collection. That's great.
Don't make a Metz of yourself.
Rob, listen, we're going to have to break here in a second because we've got Van Jones is coming on from CNN. He's got a new book, Beyond the Messy Truth, How We Came Apart and How We Come Together. So you just let me know when we need to break and I will break. But the fact is
we're at a point where we probably should hang out for him.
We should.
Yeah.
No. Let's be professional. Let's take a break right now. We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Bro.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Sally hung around the Broadway area and tried to break into broadcasting, but the only roles she ever seemed to wind up with were in the bedroom. Then one day, as she would later tell her biographer, the voice of God told her to take diction lessons and her whole life changed.
Hark, I hear the cannons roar.
Hark.
Is it the king approaching?
Hark, I hear the cannons roar.
Roar.
Is it the king approaching?
No. The cannons roar. The cannons roar.
The cannons roar. Hark, I hear the cannons roar. Is it the king approaching?
Sally practiced faithfully every day for many months. Her natural speech was a great obstacle to get over. Yet through diligence and perseverance, plus a rather special, intimate knowledge of many Broadway personalities, it was only a question of time before she emerged a full-blown star.
And now, the makers of Lady Lydia Facial Cream bring you Sally White and her gay white way.
Good evening and cheers to you all out there. My first exclusive. Clark Gable was in town this week in uniform. And where did he go? To El Morocco, naturally. That brunette on his arm was Lolly Hayes, an up-and-coming starlet. Hope you had fun, Clark.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
You watch how this works, Rob. Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show is a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. If you're here, ladies and gentlemen, you are in the... we are on air, on demand, and heard 24-7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Blue Apron. Happy anniversary, yay! Blue Apron. Woo! This month, Blue Apron is celebrating its fifth anniversary by bringing back its top 20 recipes as picked by you over the past 5 years. Your favorite recipes are back for a limited time. Try them out by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. There's never been a better time to discover that Blue Apron is the better way to cook. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients so you can make delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron has easy delivery options to fit your needs, and since there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. That's great. It's another wonderful thing about Blue Apron. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they're going to make it right. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have Mr. Jones on yet?
We do.
Let's get right to him. At the beginning of the show, a gentleman that I have tremendous respect for. I admire this man, and I watched him religiously during the campaign season on CNN. Van Jones is joining us. Van, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, Van. The book is Beyond the Messy, How We Came Apart, How We Come Together. And let me get it out of the way, because I know you're going to get asked a lot today when you're doing your little radio tour today. You've said that you're not interested in running for office. Is that still your position? Is it the same as an hour ago, Van, that you are not running for office?
No, I'm not running for office. I have seen the best in the world, Obama, do it at close range. That is the toughest job in the world. My job is to try to make the media a little bit less insane and try to make it safe for good people to put out good ideas. And that's what the book is about, really. For both, actually, on both sides, the good people are getting gunned down, and I'm trying to fix that.
Well, I've talked about the fact that I'd love to have the, you know, maybe a Republican, maybe a Democrat, somebody, maybe an independent, maybe somebody that comes, an Angus King style guy, somebody that comes from the world of politics that might be the white knight, the savior. Before I get into the gist of how we fix everything, because you're talking about fixing the media, you're kind of in there, you're in the CNN belly of the beast. You wrote this book after the election. In my opinion, you were kind of the face of the anguish that many of us felt with the results of the election. My question to you, you were out there with a camera in your face. I was basically halfway through a bottle of Irish whiskey, calling my friends and relatives, going, I don't understand the way it's going on. You were there on point. How long did it take you to get back on track after the 2016 results were in?
You know, I didn't really get off track, because I had been begging and crying and pleading and making myself just as obnoxious to everybody I knew, saying that Trump could win. And I right. felt like Cassandra, I had seen a future, but nobody would listen to me. In June of 2016, if you look online, I not only got his victory right, I got every state right except for Wisconsin.
Wow.
And so so it was very heartbreaking, but I wasn't as completely thrown off. Look, the reason I wrote the book is because I think that we've got the analysis wrong, and I think we could wind up with 8 years of Donald Trump if we don't get the analysis right. I think we think there's too many bad people doing bad things in government, and that's certainly, you know, true. But the bigger problem is that there are too many good people, frankly, in both parties, who just don't know what to do at all right now. People are just stuck and stunned still. And it's been 2 years since the guy came down the escalator, and we still can't get our feet under us. So this book, a third of this book, the last third, is literally just giving people, what can we do now? What issues can we work on, frankly, in a bipartisanship from below kind of a way, whether it's opioids, whether it's criminal justice, whether it's, you know, better education for kids when it comes to STEM. You know, what can we do? And it's a tough love letter to both parties to kind of get both parties a little bit of a gentle kick in the butt so we can get out of this just waking up every morning freaking out about his most recent tweet, and yet we're not building the kind of movement that we're going to need to make sure that this never, ever happens again.
Can you give me an example of what we can do to begin to understand each other? I'm down here in a Midwestern retirement Cocoonville elderly community where they gave me crap because they knew I was the guy that liked Hillary and that was voting for Hillary. And everybody now we've gone full radio silence. Nobody talks about it. Nobody seems to want to deal with it on both sides. I'm just curious, where's the jump off point? Where do we start understanding each other, and how do we do it? Is it possible?
Look, it's possible. Now, I'm not a Pollyanna guy, and it's not a Pollyanna book. You know, the book is called Beyond the Messy Truth. How we came apart and how we come together. But I'm not a Pollyanna guy. There's some stuff we're just going to have to fight about. You know, I'm not going to turn my back on Muslims who are being persecuted or LGBTQ people who are being insulted and attacked even by the president. You know, immigrants, you know, the whole list. I think that we I'm proud of the circle that we drew in 2016 that included all these groups that have been marginalized and spat on and pushed out for so long. We pulled those people into this circle. I love that. The problem is, if you listen to people on the other side, they'll tell you they think we drew our circle a little bit too small. And there were some people who were hurting, white guys, straight white Christian men in the red states who were actually hurting economically and even culturally and didn't feel like our circle was big enough to include them. So part of what the book I'm arguing for is we're never going to let go of the traditionally marginalized folks who have been left out too long. But we've got to also figure out how to bring in some of these newly marginalized folks, and part of it is just listening. And here's the deal. Even if they never vote for Democrats, my book says, just please, God, vote for better Republicans. I mean, you can stay a conservative, but
I agree.
Support this nonsense. And so that's the way to start the conversation. And the other thing I'll say is this. It's one thing where we fight where we disagree. We're supposed to fight where we disagree, maybe with more respect. But we're now not working together where we do agree. Everybody agrees at an issue level that this addiction crisis is just completely out of control. I've got stuff in the book where we could fix this addiction crisis tomorrow. We're not even working on it. Everybody knows the courts, the criminal justice system, it's a complete disaster. Republicans had been leading on that issue of criminal justice reform in Texas and Georgia, Ohio. We're not even working on where that stuff where we agree anymore. Are none of our kids red states, blue states, black, Latino, Native American, white, Asian, whoever? None of our kids are being prepared for the jobs of tomorrow. Artificial intelligence, are you kidding me? Robots, Mars, that stuff, even if you don't do education reform, curriculum reform, can't we get together and figure out a better way to teach our kids and at least acknowledge that the jobs of tomorrow are going to be so different? We've all got to be humble and listen to each other. But whether it's education, addiction, criminal justice, these are big areas where why don't we have a rule? We'll fight from 9 to noon every day, and then from noon to 3, we'll get something done, and then go back to fighting for dinner. I mean, we
You know
fight.
What, Van, I will tell you, bring back the 3 martini lunch. That's what we have to do. That'll do it. Bring back the 3 martini. We're talking to Van Jones. The book is Beyond the Messy Truth. And, you know, you talk about reforming the culture of the media. You think being on panels where you were, Van, where we know Van Jones is going to disagree with Jeffrey Lord and the robot from Westworld, Kelly McInerney or whatever her name. Do you think that, I'm sorry, that's Mike. Me. By the way, that's me saying that, not Van Jones saying that. Okay, just to. I mean, I'm still hurting. Do you think that? Do you think that's helpful though? When you're on CNN and you know that one guy's going to say this and you're going to say this, and but there were moments of common ground. How do we fix the media? How do we fix the media in this? And do you have anything in the book about that?
Yeah, I talk about this culture now of every conversation, left, right, or middle, now just boiling down to I'm right and you're wrong, and that's it. Or worse, we're right and they're wrong. We're talking about each other, not even talking to each other. And that there's got to be room now for another kind of conversation where the rules are, I want to understand you, and I want you to understand me. Whether or not we agree, you can understand without agreement. But you can't just fight and fight and fight and never have a breakthrough, never find any common ground, never talk about anything constructively, and never even understand each other and still have a country. But here's what's going to happen. If the audience starts responding to a different format, that format will take off. But right now, the same people who tell me every day how much they hate, the fist fight and the food fight on TV, if you look at their media feed, What do they like? What do they retweet? What do they share? It's negative. Always some big fight or some one-sided rant. And until we start hearing in cable commercial television, you can only have so many people change the channel before a producer or somebody is going to say, hey, we got to go back to the food fight. So part of it is we've got to put better stuff on TV, but the other thing is that people got to actually start clicking and liking and interacting online with stuff that is a little bit more nutritious for the country. But even if, fixing the media system is later. Today, we just got to get your listeners off the couch, out from under the bed, and empowered to start doing things that make them feel better. We can't just sit up here and freak out every morning and think we're going to build a movement that's going to attract people. If you're a progressive, this book is going to be very helpful to you in finding, concrete ways to think about things in a different way with a little bit more empathy, and then some pathways to action. We
got
to move
on. And real quick, because we just got 1 second left here, Van Jones is our guest. The book is called Beyond the Messy Truth. A lot of people might not know that Van was a close personal friend of Prince, and losing him was a gut shot for many of his fans. But, in your case, a personal friend. Do you think if his friends knew about his addiction? Because he's talk about an example of the opioid crisis. Do you think he'd be alive today if people were more aware his inner circle of what was going on?
It's so hard to know. I've talked to different counselors and stuff who've said that when somebody he concealed it so well that it's hard to know if we had found out about it what we could have done. So
right.
I talk about that in the book as well. I know you got to let me go. Beyond the
Van, thank you very much. Listen, when you have more time, we're in D.C., so you can come by. We'd love to hang out with you. I'm a huge fan. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep making a difference. And come on when you've got more time after a book tour. We'd love to have you come in and panel with us. Okay, my friend?
We'll do it. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Van. Thank you. Van Jones from CNN doing one of those rapid book tours. But really cool guy. And you know what? He
great
walks
questions.
The walk.
Yeah.
He walks the walk a little bit when he's talking about finding common ground. And I think that it's just this post world that we live in now. And I live here.
He said something that really struck me where, look, let's be honest. In our personal lives, we have different conversations than we have on air, right? Mm-hmm. And some of us, and I think, Mike, half the time, really you address certain issues nationally that aren't necessarily part of the fabric of this program. Is because you don't have anyone else to talk to sometimes. Yeah. You want to talk to your friends. You want to talk to your guys. You want to talk to the audience because you don't
I haven't talked
need
about
to go
it on
somewhere.
This show. I have radio silence down here. It's weird. It's not when the election was happening. I have to be very clear. I probably said it on this show, but I should really say it again. When you're a golfer in the world of white men golf,
yes.
The sport that I love so much, I have been a political minority my whole life as far as my feelings, and I've enjoyed it because I love the debate and I love
the discourse.
The fight. The fight is fun. It used to be so much more fun. During the most recent presidential election, it got to a point where I just didn't like bringing it up because I didn't like being the punching bag and I did not like the way I was spoken to. Let me tell you what it's evolved to, because I don't think I've talked about that on the show. It has evolved now where it is radio silence. There is nothing. I don't know what that means, but nobody's really talking about it. And it's not like they're not talking about
it. Not even the loudmouths on the other side that used to spar with you. They don't bring it up?
No, it's just we'll make a flip comment, a joke about it, and then I will initiate it. Because it's not being initiated on the other side, and I just find it interesting. I think the point is that there is probably frustration on both sides now with the current administration. I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. I think on the team that voted for him, there's probably frustration because of the day by day news cycle that they see, but I really don't know. The thing about it is, though, when I reached out to Van, and I haven't had a chance because we booked him, it was a late booking. I didn't get a chance to read the book, and I want to read it. I'd love to know how we can, you know, reach common ground and reach out to people, because it really is a situation where it's almost a total shutdown right now.
Because,
you know?
And again, I think we've probably all in our own way, even Rob, who, you know, generally likes to play like he does not get involved at all. But I know
But Rob, I've noticed more than anybody on this show, Rob is probably more passionate and vocal
about how
he feels right now.
But I'll say this, that, you know, I have friends on both sides of the aisle. And I have friends on both extremes of the aisle.
But he doesn't have that many friends, just to be clear.
But as far as politics are concerned, if you're not in alignment with their viewpoints on either side, there is no forwarding of the conversation.
No, it ceases.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
There's no forwarding of the conversation.
It stops. It stops dead in its tracks.
It's not a fun place to be. Mm. It's not what it was in the past growing up, where there'd be an actual political discourse.
No.
There is no ball breaking that people's feelings aren't going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Like it really is.
It's meaner. It's nastier. Yes. It's more.
No shades of gray.
You're a complete idiot, and you have no value. It's a terrible place that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. It is really, really a terrible place. I don't know how it happened, but I know he kind of alluded to it because I do think so. And this is from my team. I'm talking.
Right.
And by the way, when I say that, some people get annoyed. Hey, crap. Okay.
He's a Giants fan.
Your team and my team.
New York
Giants. The fact is,
loves the Red Sox.
I always talk about it because, of course, we've developed that. Mm-hmm. We are talking about our teams. I totally agree with the
Bowie Bay Sox.
With the common ground message, you know, where we have a common ground, where we find things where we agree. And, you know, you have to do that. You have to start that.
Tax reform.
That's right.
No, what he talked about with the Democrats.
Cleaner box stores.
No, we allowed one team to be the party of the common white guy, the working white guy that's getting screwed.
Right.
I've always told people, I think his name is J.D. Vance. I'm pretty sure. If you want to read one book, and we'll stop being serious after this. If you want to read one book, the book is Hillbilly Elegy. If you want to read a book about the white America and poor white America, and how poor white America felt, there's no secret that in white poor areas, you probably have some of the examples of institutional racism, where you've got people that grow up, their daddy said this, their daddy's daddy said this. You know, you go into communities that may have never seen an African American, but they, you know, they're angry, and then it just... Read the book, and it'll tell you kind of where it came from. And I totally agree that the Democratic Party kind of just assumed that those people would be along for the ride, and they weren't. They were pissed.
Yeah.
And they're still pissed. And they're going to be pissed after this election, too. I don't know who they're going to be pissed at, but I'll tell you one thing. Things might change. The only question I didn't get a chance to ask Van Jones was, and I'll ask you guys, do you think it's a pendulum? Do you think all politics is cyclical? Do you think we're, you know, this divided, hateful, angry period in our nation's history right now, do you think we will swing back to anything? Where
I don't know enough
really
about politics. I'm asking you guys, because as far as I've been alive,
I want it to.
I don't remember the hate. I don't know the hate there is. I don't think I felt it as a younger man.
I think there's always been.
You know,
there's always been.
I just felt really bad for Kitty
George
Dukakis.
George Wallace is great.
Kitty Dukakis.
Oh, she drank rubbing alcohol.
Oh, my God. It was
so
rough.
Sad.
That was so sad.
Sad
to see
no
happen.
Olives.
So sad.
So brave.
It's hysterical what you cherry pick with your political knowledge. It's like you will get these little Republican talking points that will just be, but they're innocent Republican talking points.
Well, his whole basis of politics based on what he's seen on Best of Saturday Night Live special on VH1. I had a great poli-sci professor, the kind that you would like follow around and grab the classes that he taught in college. I liked the guy that much. And he used to draw the same graph all the time. And it was two overlapping ovals. And it was the far left and the far right, but most of it was in common. And he said, there really is so much more that they share than that they don't share. Mm. And what we need is one or two candidates to come into power, or at least into the attention of the public, that starts to emphasize the commonality again. And that's what's going to bring us together.
I hope so.
It's not going to happen. But I do honestly feel that it will happen, because we are right now in a... I had drinks with some friends and on Saturday
night.
And we are in such a toxic place. To have four different people from four different walks of life all agree just how much everything sucks right now. And it won't last. It can't last because it makes you feel sick.
Still better than Venezuela.
A third world country.
That's a pretty good way to look at it. Still better than Venezuela.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, put that on the quarters.
Right. Those poor people.
You're
print
right.
it on the quarters
they
and the
can't
$5
even
bill.
Buy bread.
I hate the 10-minute radio tour, though. You know where
he hosts. The guy's like, we got to move it.
I need Van Jones for a long. I think I try to remain optimistic.
You have to.
You know, and the thing is, I also should tell you about my issue that seems to be stronger than ever is the environment, because I find myself driving along the highway here in Southwest Florida and looking over at places that I'm like, yeah, I can see that being underwater in 10 years.
Oh, God. You know?
I truly feel that way. That's
Mike,
that's
you've always got
thing.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I've got
and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, baby. We're excited about that.
You're not underwater when it comes to fantasy football.
Van Jones, check him out on CNN. He's really, really good on that show. And Beyond the Messy Truth, How We Came Apart, How We Come Together. He mentioned it 15 times. I mentioned it 15 times. And then I got to ask him two questions. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You said the
You know, we have many income streams right here at the Mike O'Mara Show. We have the bonus shows. That's a big one, isn't it, Rob?
Cornerstone.
Yeah, the show depends on it.
Work harder.
Real important. Go subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. We have our Amazon connection.
Yes. Too.
Yes, the Amazon portal is huge. You must always use it.
Shop through Amazon. And, of course, we'd like you to support our advertisers. That's very important, is it not?
Yeah, and not just financial support, but support them morally.
You know you're an ass. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Draft. Fantasy football fans, I know you're all over Draft. We have so many drafts going between Chalky Cullen and Oscar F. Santana and M. O'Mara. That, by the way, those are our handles.
Find us.
Let me tell you what it is first, then we're going to talk about our draft. Draft is weekly fantasy football. It ain't like the other guys. With Draft, you play real, live snake drafts. With other people, just like in a season-long league. Here's how it works. The draft lasts for a week. There's no management, no salary caps. Just set it and forget it. You can play a draft with one person, like I did with Oscar.
Yes.
For $90 that I won. And you can forget it. And Oscar won last week. It's literally the only one I care about right now.
I mean, he drubbed me.
Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. The best part, cold hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone, even Marcus Serda.
Who, by the way, came in second head-to-head against me. Sorry, Marcus. Love having your money.
Come and join us on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store. By the way, it's exploding in popularity, especially with our listeners. Join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on playdraft.com. The choice is yours. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you got to use the promo code TMOS. That's right. Play a real money game just like we do for free, and thank you for the invites. I will be accepting more of them this week.
Remember your promise.
M. O'Mara. Did I say 25?
25 $1 bets you would honor this week.
All right. Do it for free. Thanks, Rob. Just for using promo code TMOS on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and play free with promo code TMOS.
Mike O'Mara, man of his word.
Man of his word.
You want to clear your throat? There you go.
I've been dying to tell you about my weekend. I had one of the greatest weekends I've had in a long time because the centerpiece of the weekend was T-ball.
So many wonderful pictures.
Oh,
wonderful pictures this weekend. Mike, loved it.
Was it everything you thought it would be? Because you've been to it through it before with your girls,
right?
It was everything I thought it would be. It was fun. I'm such a feeb. I'm so broken down. But I don't care. I jumped in. You know, I wasn't a coach, but I jumped into.
Of course, you helped
the coaches because I'm a type A and I wanted to do that. Let me tell you the. Carl and I are very very similar with, and you guys you've seen
in
this
looks.
Too.
I know.
Thank you. Thanks, Sheck.
But she's not going to Melons.
Melons. What's
big,
Thornton
you're,
Melons?
You're
Thornton
going Melons, to big, you're big going and tall.
Hey, no, I'm brand new Dillard's. Hindenburg line.
Since I have to get a suit. God, Oscar looks good in a suit, Rob. We don't look good in suits.
No, I require black magic and willing, witchcraft.
I would be willing to discuss our wardrobe. Like if you'd want to mod, let the boy put a suit on. But I mean, it's just a thought. But yeah, I know you've already.
I'm in,
about
and
it.
I'm in.
Are
a
you wearing some sort of clown suit, like with a leopard skin tie or something like that? What are you?
I'm
doing?
Wearing the suit you saw at the funeral, but with a more festive tie.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anyway, we'll talk
no,
about
no
it.
No animal prints this Mike, year, Mike.
The clown suit might be an act too.
Yeah, you're right. I understand.
I don't want to come out too zingy and sort of offset the reveal.
Not so much zany Bruce. At the front.
That's right. Zany in the rear.
So getting back to the whole thing, we arrive motto. At T-ball. We're up early. We have to be there at 8:30. The game starts at 9 o'clock. We're going to meet the coach for the first time. He's going to get his uniform. He's going to get his hat. He's going to meet all the other kids. It's really, really exciting. And we're up. Like ridiculously early. Like we're up so early, we're more than prepared. It's silly.
How was the boy's mood the night before? Because I imagine he was almost uncontainable.
No, it wasn't that because he's four and nothing, you know, you don't process things that way. Was he excited? He was excited when he got up in the morning, when he put on his helmet and he was holding his bat. I took a little picture of that. Carla and I have what would best be described probably as the same level of social anxiety. Where when you put us into a new situation, there's just enough anxiety to make us kind of snip, snip, snip,
sure.
snip at each other. And that, you know, there's a wide variety of intensities. It can be extremely intense if something goes awry, or it can be on the low level and you don't even say anything. Well, I probably outdid her for the social anxiety.
So
here's the instruction.
If it bubbles over, you can't go towards the outsider. You have to attack from within. So
well,
you're natural targets for each other.
Naturally, going into this environment, which is the environment of the young parent, my anxiety level is elevated, okay? Because
sure.
yes. I know that it's like, well, who's your grandfather? Not his grandfather. Father. Father. But I didn't get that, fortunately.
Grandpa.
The thing is, so that we get one instruction. Carla has run point on this.
Good.
She takes this off of my plate. I do things like take him out to the field and practice with him. I do things like go along with them to get the equipment.
Okay.
She does all the logistics, all the emails, where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to do, and she's great at it. And she does a really, really wonderful job. Here's what happens. The instruction we get is, and it's like one of these parks where you all have them in suburbia where there are 35 different fields that are
sure.
out there, and you arrive
diamonds
and you get the diamonds everywhere, and the instruction was that the team will have orange shirts and black hats, that's going to be the orange and black kind of pumpkin Halloween color scheme is what it's going to be.
Are they called is the team called the Mac Macintoshes?
No, it's not, but thank you for that. I know you care. And so we arrive at the field, and there's a team with black jerseys on one field, and then off in the distance I see black hats and orange jerseys.
Ah. Mm.
And suddenly as we get closer, I'm like, oh my gosh, those are... And I'm looking, and these kids are like redwoods. These kids are... And I'm like, this is... He's too young. because we're kind of sneaking him in too young anyway.
They'll redshirt him for kindergarten and they'll put him up for sports.
We're doing
the opposite.
Yeah. Oh, it comes out in the wash.
It's T-ball. Give him a head start. Come on.
Come on.
So I see, and
play
I see
with
these
the big
kids,
boys.
And I immediately, without thought, go into hyper anxiety mode.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Okay. We've got this must be the way they grow them down in Florida. Look at the 6'2", 5 year old that's down here.
That one kid's
this
Dominican. He's 13.
Yeah. I'm watching Dora the Explorer. And let me play the sound.
Everyone's
this
lying
is the
about
sound.
The age.
This is the sound immediately with no waiting. Carla's not doing this, by the way. This is all me. Let me play the sound of my anxiety.
It just goes. No.
I said, Carla, did you? And I'm in course. I said, did you check the ages for this? Did you know? Is he? I mean,
did
I know
you?
We're bringing him in young. She's like, calm down. I'm like, well, did you see these kids? And I'm really, and within probably 6 minutes, I realize it's a totally different little league team. It's a totally different.
It
and
was
we're
tackle
first.
Football.
By the way, we were first. So
okay, all right.
So then it's like, I said, well, what field? She said, well, it's field number one. And I look like, and I point at the backstop where the number one is on the back of this field. But this is how I do this. Okay, she said, what field are we on? She said, I think it's field number one. 800 question marks afterwards. And I point at the backstop. I hope this translates on video. I'll show you how I do it. I point at the backstop and I go. You know, and because so
a
I'm
total
really,
lack of containment of frustration and
I'm just
pointing.
Nervous. I want to meet the coach.
What's
I want to see
Michael
the other kids.
What's little Michael doing during all this nervous
He's
energy?
He's being four and just like la la la. You know, I wish I could be like
Can
that.
You imagine?
You know? You know,
it's, Daddy's melting down again. I'm gonna shut this out.
He's
in my mind.
Kicking dandelions.
Daddy was trying to gather himself. Daddy did gather himself prior to the other kids arriving because I just said, I psyched myself into it. I said, just go zen. Just do it. This is nothing big.
Zen.
But Daddy, this is my only son. This is my first son. This is the first sport that, you know, outside of the private hockey coach thing that he's got there. And by the way, he's got practice tonight, and then he's got hockey practice tomorrow afternoon. So we're all in on this. I love this. I'm sorry.
Sure.
You know, keep a boy in sports, as Ray Nicoletta said to me.
Right.
Keep a boy in sports and keep him out of courts.
You are always talking to Ray Nicoletta.
Coach Nicoletta. Coach Ray Nicoletta.
Mike, any hot moms outside of your wife, clearly?
Hold on. We'll get to that in a second. Did I mention that I met Coach Grogan at my high school reunion? My baseball coach from high school came to the reunion. And it was like one of the greatest
moments.
You
did mention that. He said he looked the same.
Yeah, it was cool. It was very cool.
Ageless.
So the other kids arrive, and the coach arrives, and the coach is chill.
How old is the coach?
The coach, 30s.
Okay, so not a kid.
Maybe almost 40,
a dad,
35,
likely a dad,
36.
Great shape.
What's a normal? They're all in better shape.
Like
than
a V-back, muscles.
Sure.
There were some
rippling
fatties.
Muscles.
There were fatties and uggos, Oscar. There were fatties and uggos.
And those were the two teams that played, right?
The fatties and the uggos. Yeah. And I get there and the dads start arriving and I am not feeling any level of inadequacy whatsoever. I'm actually feeling quite
good.
Normal. And I meet a dad who I'm chatting with, and this dad works in this area of retail where he has to work. And I suddenly kind of got into that. I said, "Oh, is this tough for you? I know these Saturday and Sunday are your days." So it's like, and I hit it off with him, and we chatted for a good long time. You know, the other parents there were. There was a dad there that took charge before the coach got there, got the kids organized. My job was to line them up prior to batting. They all line up and back at one another when they're going to hit off the tee. And each team goes through once and then goes through another time.
The guy that took charge before the coach got there, that obviously was a very proactive guy.
Yes.
He was young and super fit.
By any chance, did he sound like Darren McGavin?
Pumpkins is yes. Line up over here. Yeah. Hey, slugger. Oh, hey, how you doing,
don't
slugger?
Disappoint.
There you go. You wanna bat off the tee? Off the tee. Show pumpkins. Thank you.
Aren't you going to go out to eat?
We are going out to eat. So, Darren McGavin, I will get more lines from
as the holidays approach.
As the holidays approach. That is the official holiday impression of our new fall season. Yeah.
I go. My Darren McGavin goes from The Natural, the movie The Natural, to A Christmas Story, to 500-year-old movies.
Get on Netflix and watch some Call Check the Night Stalker.
Yeah, I lost that one, but I ruined the guy in the next deal. I'm lining the kids up to bat.
Right.
And that was my job, and that is the definition of kitten wrangling.
Yes, tough stuff.
But I put my little guy, gave him some Big League Chew, and then I put some eye black under his eyes, and it was as adorable as anything. And then they get up and they all hit the tee and not the ball, you know. And
so
the ball falls off the tee, and then when they make contact with the ball, they still hit a lot of tee, but they hit the ball too, and then it goes out in the field, and then they run. And this is the greatest moment if you ever have a tee baller. The greatest moment is when they hit the ball and you see them run to third base. They run everywhere. They're running all over the place.
We'll flip the tape. They're going right.
Yeah, they don't know where the hell they're going.
We'll just
they're
running
in 15 different directions. Yeah, it's terrific.
I think if they hit the tee and the ball falls, it should count as a bunt.
There's no.
Did anyone? Oh, a natural.
They all connected. I would say my kid's last at bat. He hit it into the outfield. It got through on the ground, but it got through the row. And then when they hit the ball out into the field, they all collapse on the ball simultaneously. All these little guys. You know, and they were all cute kids. They were all wonderful kids. Every single one of the kids on my son's team is fantastic. We'll take a break.
Do they have a little tent on the side, just like in the NFL, where they go and have full meltdowns?
No. The meltdowns are like, where's mommy? And then one of the parents brought snacks.
Orange wedges?
Pirates booty. Fantastic snacks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the baseballs were covered with, like, cheese dust at the end of the year.
That is one cheesy baseball.
It was fantastic. But here's to T-ball. Yay! More to come. We will take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. No.
Tuesday. You know what that means.
It means it's mailbag day on TMOS.
Yes,
Tuesday's
it is
the day where Rob reaches into his bag and pulls out your letters and emails for Mike to read. Got a birthday greeting? Send it to Rob. Want to hear an impression? Send it to Rob. Just want to say hey? Send it to Rob. The guys also love packages, too. Send your note to Rob at MikeO'MaraShow.com. That's Rob with two B's. Or if you want to be old-timey, P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Tuesday is mailbag day on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim Amato. We appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. If you're buying a house, you probably don't know what you're doing. No offense. Tricky to do. Yeah. You know that. You don't do it all the time. So doesn't it make sense to consult with an expert that has your best interest in mind? You need someone who understands the best way for you to get what you need. Our friends at Cornerstone First Financial will be able to get you through the finance process quickly and easily and at the best rate possible. Right now, interest rates are low, 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 so now is the time to look in before they go up again. Lock in.
If you bought your house now, you'd actually get a better rate than I did because interest rates are even lower than when I bought mine a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you could get a bigger house than Oscar.
Their banner on our website. You can call Cornerstone First Financial.
Thanks, Rob.
202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. That's at cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS or 202-625-1221. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing, everybody.
Can I offer you a quick word of praise?
Yes.
You were wonderful. You were wonderful on OmeraCast.
Yeah, you killed.
You know what? If I did the show prep for this show that I do for OmeraCast, I would probably be extremely funny for about a month, and then I'd have to go to rehab.
My favorite part is that
that's Daddy's way of saying he had a toddy or two before he went. was 6:30.
You were loosey-goosey.
You were very, very
super loosey-goosey.
Yeah. Yes. And you were very quick to praise Jim Amato. Not so much praise for Marcus. And I felt
that
a little
Jim
bit
Amato
of
Jim Amato is said, really great.
He has got a wonderful voice. And Marcus says, well, that's really great. I consider him a friend.
Yeah. Well, Marcus praises himself.
What about
so
me?
There's, not,
yeah.
there's no need. Celine. He doesn't need help from me. He doesn't. He
200 episodes of me.
My God, that poor guy. All Marcus does is support this show 100%.
And all I say is that, Mike, you were fantastic.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Tony Perkins was also great.
You know what? You should you get together with Marcus in New Orleans and have a toddy or two.
And then
know,
a fist fight?
Really I don't think there's a need for a fist fight. I think everything's going
to But
be...
I will say, I want to address something. He had reached out and asked me to do something for show 200, and then he booked you. So what I did was I stepped aside because I said, you don't want...
Excuse me? What?
He said, do you want to do something...
I think the inner ego of Rob Spiewak
No.
Just,
far from it.
Just spilled
you
out.
Stepped he said, aside? Well, like he you said, were the first choice, but you deferred to me, or what?
He had... That's what I think he did like. Reach out to me first because he didn't think he could get you. And okay. I said, of course, I would be glad to do it.
Get me. Call me down here. What am I doing? I'm taking a dump and going to play golf. I'm not. But you know, it's not like you're trying to get Van Jones on the show.
He made it sound like I had my feelings hurt that you were on the show instead of me. And that is not the case. I said, I'd love to do something down the road. But if you have the head of the corporation on the episode, you certainly don't need me to water it down.
I
that whole episode about you.
No. Far from it.
I think the whole compliment is about him. Right? He said, can I offer you some praise? And then he went on the stage.
I said,
and
you
the
were
whole
fantastic.
Setup was for him
well,
to say that he stepped aside for me
no,
to go
because
on,
Marcus
like
made my gesture
of,
look like it was something that was, not about me. I'm saying that Marcus, you played
it right. I was
unaware
that you made a gesture, though. I don't
Did
know
you hear you... anything else in that interview except for what was about you?
I heard everything. I heard everything in the interview.
I appreciate you listening to it. I appreciate you listening to it. It's more than I would do for anybody on the show.
Understood.
I would not, because you know that I do not consume the shows like you guys do, and I think I should. I should probably,
nah.
In fact, I'll get right on that.
So you were misrepresented.
I was misrepresented by Marcus Serta, but you know what? Not surprisingly. It's a great show, and I never miss it.
Well, it was fun chatting with him, and I love being interviewed, and I'd love to do more interviews. I'd love to do more interviews. I'd love to do, you know.
You should go on Tech 411.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on
Talking Tech.
I'd like to go on Big O and Dukes again sometime.
Really?
Too, you know? Well, is he boycotting us or what?
No, I asked you to come on last time. You said, no, I go to bed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that was
he said it on the air. He said it on the air.
But that was also when he was in town, so it would have involved.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It would have involved the trip.
Oh, I'm not
out
driving
and back.
To Fairfax.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
Driving to, I'm not driving to their studio on top of the record store. I'm not going to do that.
But a phone call would be nice. He could phone from bed.
Okay, we'll do that.
No, you know what I want to do? I want to do an interview in one of these magazines down here in one of the Shishi magazines down in Florida. And if I can't get into one of those, I want to get into one of those like circular magazines that. They have all these little like advertising vehicles where they just force an article in there,
yeah.
And you know the PR machine. I want to do that because I love being in those glossies. That's my favorite kind of
interview.
Yeah,
but aren't glossies dying? Wouldn't you rather be on a hip online publication?
Yes. Radar Online.
Yeah, because a glossy's not going to transfer to downloads. That's just
anybody.
Your ego.
By the way, if you have a viable entity,
yes.
I will do it.
If you've got a readership.
Thrilling.
And you have people, show us your numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, show us your numbers. Love to do, because we like to get the word out about the show.
Sure.
We'd like
yes.
to do that. It'd be fun. I would,
yes.
I would
Even
enjoy
adult
that,
sites.
You know? Yes. No.
Not hard.
No,
not
no,
like
don't
a hard triple X.
No,
maybe
no.
like, yeah. Would you do hard R?
Hard R I would do.
Yeah.
If I can cuss, I would do that. Yeah. I'd be glad to do
Unlimited
that.
Unlimited F words.
Yeah, I do that.
He's on Barstool Sports.
It'd be exciting. You
the
know?
Hottest fans are the Red Sox girls. Let me tell you.
You know, hey, congratulations, by the way, baseball. Congratulations to the Houston Astros for going to the World Series against the LA Dodgers. Sorry, Yankee fans.
I think Major League Baseball is upset.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been pretty good for baseball to have a two-coast series, don't you think?
Well, Houston, as far as market,
the Yankees against the Dodgers.
Yeah, 1-2 markets. Houston and LA is 4-2, 4-1.
Yeah.
So 4-1 isn't bad. You got
so
top five all
better
around.
Better to have the Yankees against the Dodgers. Nope.
Okay. Really noted.
Thank you.
Didn't we crown them last week? We thought they were going to take it.
Yeah.
That it was going to be New York, L.A.
I got on social media, and I was able to marry myself to the tragedy. I'm sorry, the Yankee loss. And the thing that was cool about it was I married it right before. I said, I've never had an occasion. It's the truth. Never had an occasion to passionately root for a Houston sports team. And that changed Saturday night when I watched the Game 7, and I watched every inning of it, and I was able to celebrate the great joy of the Houston Astros. And now the Houston Astros bench coach, Mr. Alex Cora, will be the brand new Boston Red Sox manager when next season begins.
So, oh, wow.
That's even before even before the World Series starts, which is kind of...
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Are you happy for... Look, I saw the news break when the Yankees lost and Houston won. Mm-hmm. And as far as the Astros are concerned, I'm happy for that community.
Me too.
For Houston, yes. Right? Especially
yeah,
the flooding they just went through, the hurricane.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be great for that town.
It's a city that's taken some punches, and you want to see that city come back and have some joy. No team deserves it more, in my opinion. No city deserves it more when you see that. So I'm very, very happy with that. And because my own sports world, outside of fantasy sports on draft,
right.
My team, I don't know if you caught a look at that Giants game yesterday, where Eli Manning was just like, got hit by the ball, dropped the ball. Anyway, it was...
on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank his mouth hanging open?
Halfway, because he's just more...
5?
He gets the sneer. Gets the sneer. The sneer is when he's pissed at other players, so he gets the... This is the way the mouth is, like... When he's really, like, screwing up himself, then it goes full wide and just the... Eli Manning.
By is the way, it hard for him to stay mad?
Voted by his peers, the most overrated quarterback
That's
in the
true.
NFL. Thank you.
Is it hard for him to stay mad at other players because he's forgetful?
Yeah, he forgets. You know, and he's like, you dropped that pass. You dropped that pass on me. And then 10 minutes later, it's like, we'll go out for ice cream later.
He could play T-ball.
You know,
I'm running to third base.
I feel like you're
New York Giants 1-6, ladies.
Your $90 win really softens the blow for your loss with the Giants. 100%. Right?
Yes. That's the only one I look at. That's the only one I care about. That's the one that's real money.
So just for some context,
right.
I'm watching our draft live all day where I'm like, oh, I'm up.
You got the app?
I might win $90.
And by the way, the only time we're going to have to make a decision is when one person wins
doubles
two
up.
In a row.
Oh, and they're up.
Because once one person wins two, the other
throw
person's got to go.
That's it. Yeah.
So
we're back in it.
You're just handing the flower back and forth.
Do you understand what I'm saying with this, Rob?
I do.
If Oscar wins this week, I have to come back one more time.
Yeah.
If I win, Oscar has the option of saying, pound sand
because he's off to Cabo for a weekend.
I'm bleeding.
So we got to say bye-bye, everybody.
So Mike has this phenomenal, this entire draft is weighing on the Cowboys game, right?
Right.
And I'm like, maybe the 49ers will put some defense. It'll be great. Not the case.
Not at all.
I think Elliott had 40-plus points, which is almost impossible to get unless you have a breakout game.
I have a question for Rob Spiewak about that. Is Ezekiel a Bible name, Rob?
It is. I believe it might be an Old Testament name, Mike. I would have to check.
He saw God for me this weekend.
So, Mike is up roughly by 60 points. And I'm like, well.
Going into the game where you had your quarterback.
Well, I had Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. It was the Pats game, Sunday Night Football. You're sitting there. You've got Falcons, Pats, rematch of the Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh, they're going to come in. And Mike doesn't know what's hit him. If he's even looked into this draft, he's already counting his money.
I pretty much was feeling pretty good about it. I was saying, that would have to be like an amazing performance.
Yeah.
You have to be up close to a
40%. Like a breakout, right?
A 40-point performance.
We had Nicky Dime with the Merle with Julio Jones. I'm like, oh, Merle's not going to let me down. She's always putting out. Let's do this. And then you look at the first quarter. You're like, you know, the Falcons really haven't hit their stride yet. And then second quarter, third quarter. And I'm looking at the zero points.
It does seem
the Falcons side.
Glare, doesn't it?
There's no way I'm coming back. Mike's in the bank for $90. Congratulations.
Well, here's the good deal. I will, we get to go one more time. Just like I went to the well, you'll have to go to the well.
Keep running.
Yes, Rob Spiewak.
Ezekiel is the central protagonist of the book of Ezekiel in the Hebrew Bible and is considered by many to be a prophet. And I know how much prophet means to you. So congratulations to you and Ezekiel.
Hello, Ezekiel. Thank you for scoring those points for Mr. Mike Romero. If only he could have duplicated your lineup in his other draft with listeners, with fans of the show. Wouldn't that have been wonderful, Ezekiel?
And he shall be Ezekiel, and he shall win Mike $90, and it shall be on Draft, the new sponsor, where we get to smooth them every single day. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break. And when we come back, hey, it's already time for news you may not need or so with a wonderful kicker.
Is it?
Yeah.
Love it. Enjoy that.
This is NPR.
Fantastic. Exciting. New. Does twice the work in half the time. It's Ponyboy 3000. If you have TMOS trouble, he'll fix it before you can say sugar glider. He solves every problem, retrieves any password, defrags any disk. It's Ponyboy 3000. He speaks, he smokes, he moves at the speed of sound. The Ponyboy 3000, always ready to assist you. Ponyboy at MikeOMaraShow.com. Get ready for the fun.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Quip. Here's something to chew on. Recent studies show that good oral health impacts your overall health. But still, most of us don't brush our teeth properly. But you can start brushing better today. Introducing Quip, Q-U-I-P. It's called Quip, the new company that's refreshing the way people brush their teeth. Quip is an electric toothbrush that packs premium vibration and timer features into an ultra-slim design at half the cost of bulkier brushes. Quip is sleek, it's elegant, it's got a little carrying thing that sits on my bathroom mirror.
Love it.
I put it
so
in there
cool.
In the little slot. I love it. I love this toothbrush. Quip is backed by leading dentists, and it was named as one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2016. They also won a 2016 GQ Grooming Award and made it on Oprah's 2017 New Year's O list. Best of all, Quip starts at just $25, and you can subscribe for new brush heads on a dentist-recommended three-month plan for just $5. That includes free shipping. Go right now to getquip.com/TMOS to get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. You heard right. Your first refill pack is free at getquip.com/TMOS. That's getquip.com/TMOS. Support TMOS by supporting Quip. It will be love at first brush.
News.
Boo. On Friday, Dr. Phil hit a kid on a skateboard with his car.
Yes!
Woo! Dr. Phil was pulling out of a parking lot and he was trying to get around a van that was in front of him by the river. No.
What
I'm
kind
sorry.
Of car do you think Phil McGraw drives?
An old Lincoln Town car.
I think no. So. A classic.
No, just a big one. He was trying to get, probably a Beamer. He strikes me as a Beamer guy. He's trying to get around a van that was in front of him, but he hit a skateboarder in a crosswalk. Phil checked on the guy.
Gnarly.
No, I'm not Dr. Phil.
There's no
birthday
party.
You're Dr. Phil. the guy said he was fine, and they each went on their way. But a witness reported the accident, so police found the skateboarder. And when they checked on him, he suddenly had a shoulder and leg injury.
Oh, yeah.
I know you. Thomas Sue.
It's not in this news story, but it's all predicated on the guy's age. I just have to know how old the skateboarder was. If he's over 20.
That was exactly the number I was thinking.
Yeah,
that's
20 years old.
Line of demarcation, right.
Well, now the skateboarder's threatening to sue. Shocker. Saying Dr. Phil ran a stop sign and was in the wrong lane. He was on a stop sign and was in the wrong line. Uh-huh. And he's missing work. Oh, so he's older, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Missing work due to his injuries. Phil's people say he's willing to cooperate fully with police in their investigation.
I will sell no fries before their time.
Cameron Diaz went to dinner at an exclusive and crazy expensive restaurant called Matsuhisa on Beverly Hills. It was in Beverly Hills on Thursday. On the way out, she dropped her wallet, which contained cash on credit cards. Why am I doing all the news stories like a
I don't
guy?
Mind it.
Cameron Diaz, what are you eating here?
She should have taken the 5 to the 405.
A homeless woman found the wallet, but instead of taking off with it, she went to the restaurant to return it. How cool is
that's
that?
That's nice.
They told her Cameron had already left, but didn't take the wallet. So once again, the homeless woman had an opportunity to steal it. But again, she didn't. Someone called the cops, and she waited around to turn it over to them with nothing missing. I think Cameron Diaz ought to track that lady down.
Yeah.
I think that would be very, very cool. As long as the lady took off on her skateboard. That's terrible. The haves and have nots in Beverly Hills.
It was a longboard, Mike. Had all her stuff on it.
All right, we've talked we've talked many times about Jay and Dave and the late night battles. All right, David Letterman gets this Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center. This is what's fun. The Hollywood Reporter, because they are nasty.
Yes.
They reach out to Jay Leno to ask him what he thinks, which is just, you know, that's what the Hollywood Reporter does. Hollywood Reporter were the ones that did the Jerry interview where he got pissed off, right?
Exactly.
They're just pure snark.
By the way, I never put two and two together, but if you look at Feud, the show that we all watched, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Those gossip columnists, it's like the Hollywood Reporter is simply the same type of entity, but not someone coming to your house and be like, hey, let's talk about this.
It's always has existed. It always has existed.
It's scummy, but it looks real because it's in print.
Right. Yes.
That you're like, no, this is all gossip. Yeah, it's all gossip.
They're nasty. So they reach out to Jay, just because that's what you do when the other guys get. And Jay's got all sorts of Jay quotes. But he's honest. He said, there was a huge rift between me and Dave. I think he felt really sad that he didn't get the Tonight Show. Okay, Jay.
Yeah, sure.
And our shows were very competitive. Whether it's two sports teams or two boxers, you can talk trash to each other, but it doesn't mean you don't respect each other. I like that quote a little bit. That's okay. Leno also said the rivalry was serious, but that you have to be thick-skinned if you're in comedy. He also said, quote, the one thing about Dave was even when he was mean to me, it was funny, and that's all that matters. I, you know, Rob, I would like the quote, but even though he's mean to me, you know, he's mean.
I'd love the tone of it when he delivered it, because it might have been dripping with sarcasm.
You know,
congrats on your car show, Jay.
I'm thrilled Dave is getting the Mark Twain Award. Yeah, it's a great award. It's Mark Twain. Yeah, Mark Twain.
Anyway, so Jay, I don't know. It's just funny that the Hollywood Reporter reached out to them.
Yeah, and that is really they knew exactly what they would get.
Didn't they win, though? They all won, because you would talk about this feud, and then they were on that Doritos Super Bowl commercial.
They
got paid for that.
Well, yeah, but Dave knew exactly what he was doing there.
Hopefully they're really, really happy. looking forward to it. A new survey found that kids and adults have very different opinions on the best Halloween candy.
Ah.
Kids' top 8 candies include stuff that's really sugary and usually fruit-flavored. I didn't know this, but the kids like Smarties, Starburst, Twix, Nerds, Skittles, Sour Patch Kids, M&M's, and Laffy Taffy. Adults' top 8 are much more chocolate-oriented. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&M's, Swedish Fish, Hershey's Kisses, Candy Corn. Candy Corn?
Boo!
God, Candy Corn ought to be wiped off the face of the planet. Fun Dip. What the F
fun
is
dip? Fun Dip?
Fun Dip is almost like a Kool-Aid powder that you dip a stick in and you lick it with your face.
Snickers and Kit Kats. So the adult, I mean,
no, it doesn't, joy.
Doesn't surprise me,
no,
because Robert and Julia both lean towards those tart sour things. The tart
my sour, kid sour. Kids sour. My kid likes sour.
And by the way, Laffy Taffy can kiss my ass.
Not that, funny.
It's not, I'm not laughing.
You guys.
The only overlap is M&M's. Everything else, steal away. So steal your kids' candy. You take the Reese's, they're not going to care because they're trying to get Laffy Taffy.
Yeah.
The way that
Reese's were like gold bricks when we would go trick-or-treating.
Yeah, like a pack of smokes in the slam.
tomorrow on the show, I will tell you all about the scary fat pirate that I'm going to be for Trunk or Treat. We're decorating the car. It's going to be a pirate ship.
Big bone pirate, Mike.
I plan on going. Oh, not a Somalian pirate. How could I be a Somalian pirate?
No, it's a Mongolian pirate.
I'm going to go all in. I'm going to go all in, like, at the trunk or treat. We have to get there at, like, 5:30. We can get there at 5, decorate the car, and I'm going to be... We're putting a board out where they have to walk the plank to get candy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So if I don't make one child cry, I haven't done my job.
So I guess you're looking to get a candy bar. Are you looking to get a candy bar? Look at my blacked out teeth.
Do like they do in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Turn around but have your mouth full with chocolate syrup. So when you smile, it looks like blood pouring out of your mouth.
Yeah. And it'll get all over the pirate shirt, which will be a good look too.
No adult jokes.
No.
Nothing about butt pirates.
Yeah, no hard R jokes.
Is it Javier Bardem who is the actor that does that? You know?
Oh, no, it's...
Javier Bardem is in Pirates of the Caribbean, the latest one.
He's in the new Pirate of the Caribbean. He's the guy that's got the map. Yeah. Come on, you can't get any new movies
and
at
the
all.
The first one was, I think it was Jeffrey Rush.
Not the first one. This is the one where he's got the goo in the mouth.
It was just in theaters, yes.
It was a movie an hour ago, Rob.
Do me a favor, though. Do me a favor, when you're around the kids, avoid the phrase goo in the mouth.
Goo in the mouth. No, but he's got the black coming out of his mouth.
Okay. Yeah, well,
but I'll do that. I'll dress as the pirate. I'll put the goo in the mouth, but I'll do the No Country for Old Men Javier Bardem. How about I make the kids flip a coin?
How would that go?
For the kitty part, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Flip the coin. If you want the candy bar, you must flip it. You must flip the coin.
Meanwhile, there's three parents from your church putting up a sign in your yard during Trunk or Treat.
Go ahead.
Why are you doing this?
Oh, people always say that.
Moving right along.
According to
I'm obsessed with that character. According to a new survey of people over 50, the age that makes someone officially old is 83. Got that? Did they teach you that here? You're not old until you're in your early 80s. The survey also found the top five things people over 50 do that make them feel young. Check them out. Number one, driving.
So sad.
Number two, looking much younger than they really are. Get a lot of that down here.
Sure.
Number three, Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. A Libra the face.
Hi, Barb. Hi, Chuck.
Aw, their new house.
Number four, traveling regularly. Really nice. That's good, too, if you travel. I wish I could travel more.
Yes.
And number five, I'm on this one. Ding, 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 ding. Where's my dinger? It's somewhere around here. I lost it.
Pony looks at me. Pony looks at me. He's like, he wishes he could travel more.
Not just between Maine and Florida, you hump. Talking about the world.
Hey, where do you want to travel, Mike?
The world.
Like you old battle axe.
Yeah, I'd like to go to Austria, you know, Scandinavia, England, Ireland. Want to avoid that clackety-lankety place. And now, finally, a little something-something. There's a 34-year-old woman. Her name is Stephanie Dasko in South Union Township, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, I think probably more than any other state, has the award for the best names, right? South Union Township.
And also, I think maybe Pennsylvania second place for kicker ore, because Florida is very strong, but Pennsylvania also good.
Well, she has a court-ordered ban from going to the nearest Walmart. We're not sure how she got it.
Wow.
But we know she hates the rule. She hates adhering to it because she violated that ban and went there earlier this month. The employees called the cops when they saw her roll in. I guess she's got a track record there.
Sure.
When they got there, Stephanie explained why she had gone to Walmart. Quote, "The cake Walmart sells is too good to stay away."
What?
I didn't say it. Stephanie did. She's facing trespassing charges. No more details in this story, but I'm sure it's probably got a few more layers. And when they're that bad, you got to do more of them.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I hear that Stephanie is a real piece. Okay, piece. I know her favorite podcast.
What?
Walmart and Cookies. It sounds like she may not be quite right, but I feel sorry for her because you never know. In a case like this, she may be a battered spouse.
Bye.
I'm sorry. Cake batter. Thank you. We'll come back with the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. You want
me? Have you had trouble breathing after laughing from Mike's impressions? Do you have questions about Oscar's legal status? Have you been injured as a result of tripping over Rob's little sounds? Call into the law offices of O'Meara, Spiewak, and Santana. You can call the show at 9 a.m. every Wednesday at 888-920-6673. The offices of O'Meara, Spiewak, and Santana. Legal advice that we're not legally certified to give.
Well done.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Halloween is next week, and Amazon is your haunted headquarters. The deals on Amazon are bootiful. Bootiful, I didn't say
that. Bootiful.
All the boys and girls are shopping through our Amazon portal. Cool kids like Sarah Larson, who bought a carpet cleaner, which will come in handy at the scene of a gruesome unsolved murder. Zach Zabrowski bought an electric chainsaw. What, no hockey mask? Stephanie Loftus bought a Bob Ross chia pet that comes to life every full moon and paints haunted little trees. And one more horrifying purchase to consider at this, the scariest time of year. Luis Munoz bought a new fleshlight because the old one... Okay, I'm not saying that.
I was back and forth all day.
Come on.
Yeah, we have to know.
No, it's a...
Too much clackety-lackety.
I tell you what, call us in the office. It's short time.
Yeah. The old one was used. Amazon's got costumes, candy, and all the horrifying paraphernalia that your haunted heart desires. Shopping Amazon through our portal changes nothing to you, means the world to this show. Do your shopping at Amazon, and please access via TMOS. Use the terrifying TMOS app or go through our spooky website. Now go spend money and spend a lot of it. And without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Monday, October 23rd, 2017. Rob.
You mentioned that the Astros are going to the World Series. Pretty incredible ending. This pitcher, Lance McCullers, pitched 24 straight curveballs. And that's how he finished out. But they won 4-0, beating the Yankees.
McCullers is one out away from his first career save.
Yeah, but.
The Astros are one out away from their first AL pennant. Bird into center. Springer says he's got it. The Houston Astros win the pennant.
And as you mentioned, that it's good for the Houston community. They need a win. The Astros owner, Jim Crane, thanked the fans, and he alluded to that. And I think that's probably going to be the big emotional story when they start packaging the World Series for us to enjoy.
Right.
But here's the owner, Jim Crane.
First of all, I want to thank our great fans. With the big hurricane that came through here, everybody's been pulling together. It's kind of a dream come true for the city to be able to make it this far and have a chance to win the World Series. We've got a great team. Thank you, fans, for supporting us.
And after hearing that, how can you think anything against them? That's
no,
just so great
when
for
you,
them.
When you have communities that suffer, it's great to have a sports team pull people together. And I think that's very, very exciting. And thank you, Joe Buck, for shaving.
Well,
he did.
He
shaved
that.
His beard stubble. He looked fantastic. Looked like a sportscaster. You know, he didn't look like he was trying to be 14 years old. It was wonderful.
I'd like
terrific.
To go on draft and have a head-to-head one with you about whether or not he has a beard by the end of the World Series.
Yeah, well, is Fox got the World Series? Is that going to be Joe?
Sports.
Buck?
I believe
won.
So. Yeah, I believe
we'll
Fox
was FS1. By the way, baseball doing really well. FS1. How about FS45 next time? You know what? Can you hide your channels a little bit better? I mean, really, give me a break. Put it on a network. It's baseball, for Christ's sake.
I have to tip of the hat for a YouTuber named Captain Quinn, who built a device that he calls the Assault Trombone. Now, what this is, it almost looks like a Ghostbusters pack on his son's back. But
I think I did that move at American University one time, the assault trombone.
It was inspired by actions at American University.
It's role-playing, Mike.
It was, it's got a pressurized air tank like you would do to like spray your vegetables or your plants.
Yes.
You know? And so he pressurizes the air tank and then has hooked a trombone onto a rifle stock.
Oh.
So the kid can run around, his son can run around with the pressurized air, shooting the trombone at people. This is the sound of assault trombone. That's pumping it.
Say hello to my little friend.
So that's an assault trombone.
Hold on. So he pumps it. It's got like it's
like
got
an air tank with a handle that goes up and down, and that's
and
on a backpack.
And then he releases something, and it just
it's on a rifle stock. So when he pulls the trigger,
it's a trombone.
It's a trombone. It almost looks like one of those old Pilgrim blunderbusses because it's a rifle stock,
like
but
the
a
big
trombone
giant
on it. Yeah.
Pilgrim gun.
Yeah, here we go. Pumping.
Say hello to my little friend.
People are such idiots. And is he coming up and backing people and scaring the crap
no,
out of them?
No, they make it look almost like a Rambo movie.
Like a, it's a Scarface parody.
Yeah, like a 10-year-old kid running around in the woods. Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, Jimmy Fallon is so cute.
Oh, dear. What's he doing now?
Justin Timberlake announced that he was doing the Super Bowl halftime show before the NFL announced it. And he did it on Twitter, and he did it in a sketch with Jimmy Fallon. Tell me this isn't fantastic.
Excuse me, sir, do you have the time?
I was going to ask you, sir, if you have the time.
I do have the time.
You do have time?
I do have time.
You do have time?
I do have time.
You do have time?
I do have time.
You're doing the halftime show at the Super Bowl? You do have time!
Rob, God almighty. Jeez.
Anyway, that's brilliant and that's funny and that's what's happening.
Is that really?
That's really how the news broke.
Aren't they so cute?
I think they are. They're adorable together. Yeah. This I know.
Don't you think we have some bias against him and the halftime show? Because that changed the complete paradigm of talk
really
radio
for us
and you and guys, especially.
It's his first time since 2004 that he'll be back.
Well, yeah, the last time.
He said there'll be no more wardrobe malfunctions. How about that?
That's super funny. Well, congratulations. At least with Justin Timberlake, it will be a good show. He's a great entertainer.
Very, very
He is
talented.
A good entertainer, but I hate the whole Fallon thing. You know, he's my friend.
It would be great if he did it like the thing he does on Saturday Night Live where he dresses up as a tube of wrapping paper. Now, that's funny. That's funny. Let us close with this from the Graham Norton Show. It's really hard for me sometimes to wrap my head around that public people that are, you know, in front of America at all times actually have feelings and try to reason stuff through. This is a very funny story that Hillary Clinton told about when she was invited to the Trump inauguration.
You know, I really tried to get out of going. You know, we thought, okay, maybe others aren't going. So, you know, we called. The Bushes, and the elder Bushes were in the hospital, which I think was legitimate. And so then, we called the younger Bushes, and they said, yeah, we're going. We called the Carters. They said, yeah, we're going. So, you know, Bill and I looked at each other and said, well, we got to go. Oh, my gosh. I try to describe in the book what that felt like. George W. Bush, as it ends, says, that was some weird
It really surprised me. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Oh, man, that's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Want to thank CNN's Van Jones for coming on the show. Woo! His book is Beyond the Messy, How We Came Apart, How We Come Together, and that's currently available through Amazon.com. But go through the Mike O'Mara Show if you want to get that book. That's it. Don't forget, tomorrow's Tuesday, the mailbag.
Yay!
All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And our mailing address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.